MAID, or medical assistance in dying, is it compassion or is it the perversion of it? What's happening in Canada and why should we be concerned? All this and more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Create Your Own Life Show. I am your host, Jeremy Ryan Slate, the CEO of Command Your Brand. We help to combat cancel culture by placing our clients on the right podcast and new media. You can grab our brand new book, ranked number one in the PR space, over at bestpodcastbook.com. Reminder before we get into today's conversation to comment on, like this video, and smash the subscribe button if you support liberty, freedom, and want to build a better future. I have the honor of having someone on the show today that I was just introduced to recently, and I've consumed a ton of the content she's put together. She does a great job with research and she's really making a big impact out there. So Kelsey Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
So for people that may not know who you are and what you do, tell us a little about who you are and what you do.
I'll do a quick Coles Notes version. Otherwise, we'll be here for hours. My name is Kelsey Sharon. I was a Canadian combat veteran. I served in Afghanistan and I was injured there in 2009. That brought me to the inception of my company, Brass and Unity, which is a jewelry for-profit accessory company that takes old casings, turns them into jewelry and sunglasses. And then we donate the proceeds to veteran and first responder organizations all over the world. We are used as a mental health awareness tool before awareness was the cool thing to do. And so our whole mission is to keep our people alive and to prevent suicide, to not only do that, but by providing the organizations a vehicle to put the money in the hands of these charities that are doing the hard work, which then ultimately spun into a podcast, the Brass and Unity podcast, which started a handful of years ago. Now, last year, I had my first book drop, the Brass and Unity book, One Woman's Journey Through the Hell of Afghanistan and Back, which has just been picked up for a film adaptation. Wow. And I'm also a life coach that specializes in mindset, resiliency, and psychedelics. I do a lot of different things, but predominantly I use my voice as much as I possibly can because I believe it is our responsibility once you have healed from trauma to double back and grab the hands of those that so desperately need it.
And I guess just to get a pulse on things, like how does, you know, the government and whatnot help you know, veterans in Canada? Because I think we do a really piss poor job here in the US. You know, the system is not set up in a way to really help people. You know, they've drugged them up so much in their time when they're in just so they can put people out there. And it's, you know, what is it like in Canada compared to what it's like here?
Identical. We're the spitting image. We're NATO. We are all one. And so when you look at the transition points for Canadian veterans, it's very, very similar. Not only just transition points out, but when you're looking at handling any sort of issues, post-war, GWAT time, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and an undiagnosed traumatic brain injury, which resulted in a decade long of trying to fix myself with over-pharmaceutical medication being the intervention point they used while in country. I was on 11 different drugs for a lot of my 20s. Ultimately, I was able to get off of those using plant-based modalities and a really incredible psychiatrist who also served, so I had respect for, coupled with plant-based psychedelic-assisted therapy through Heroic Hearts Project, has been a game changer in my life. And I've never gone back on another pharmaceutical intervention since.
And then how did MAID come across your lines? I know it's been something you've been very passionate about. You've done a great job in like actually citing studies and things like that, which I don't think a lot of people do when they're talking about important subjects. So how did this, you know, come across your lines and you know, why is it such a big deal?
Yeah. So ultimately, let's take a little look back at what MAID is, how it started. The reason I wanted to be so dialed in on this topic when I was speaking publicly is twofold. Number one, there's a million people who have podcasts, but not a million people need podcasts. So if I was going to break through the noise,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, most do. My goal really was if I'm going to be a voice and I'm going to be loud about something, I damn well better know my facts, especially around a topic like this. So MAID was something that started, it's happened around the world. You know of, you know, you can go to Sweden and you can go to Denmark. You can end your life with medical assistance in dying. That is for the terminally ill over 18, you know, foreseeable, painful, excruciating type of death. Mm-hmm. Nobody's arguing that that needs to be an option for people. But what I am arguing is very much this. In 2015, there was an individual, Carter versus Canada, who challenged the system to allow for MAID to become an accessible for Canadians, i.e. terminally ill, over 18, foreseeable death. Once that went through in 2016, MAID was then opened up to the Canadian population for, again, terminally ill and foreseeable death. Here's where things got dicey and has been happening very quietly, and that slippery slope has started. There's this organization in Canada, which frankly, I'm coming for, and they are disgusting human beings. They are called Dying with Dignity. Dying with Dignity does not include suicide. So let's get that straight right off the bat. This organization has been advocating and is now in the throes of amendment with the government of Canada to amend the rights for MAID to no longer include just the terminally ill, foreseeable death, but now starting March 17th of this year, and it is January 29th right now, starting March 17th of 2024, this was originally supposed to happen March of 2023, but enough people started to become aware that Canada is not ready for this, nor is, in my personal opinion, any of the population in this globe ready for something like this. And they shouldn't be, because we saw this in 1939 to 1945, it was just named under the Compassionate Act as eugenics. Mm-hmm. So Canada is now doing this where March 17th, if you are mentally ill, if you have depression, fibromyalgia, you are homeless, you are an addict, you are somebody who has too much credit card debt, Jeremy, someone who cannot see a way out, you will be now a candidate for medical assistance in dying. And here's where it gets really sinister. Children down to the age of 12 are now included in this.
That's and what insane.
It is insane. So what is the one thing that we understand about children? They are impressionable and they are who they surround themselves with. So what we understand about things like social contagions is we understand that they spread like wildfire. And MAID is being brought forward to the Canadian population as a compassionate term and an empathetic term. But ultimately, what it is a permanent solution to a curable problem. And Canada, since 2021, has killed over 10,500 people. In 2022, it was over 13,000. They have not released the stats for 2023 because it is climbing like you could not believe. And when we went, I got the opportunity to talk to Piers Morgan about this. The one thing that I stated that is incredibly clear is that it starts with the vulnerable population. And that's how it came across my desk, was it was targeted toward veterans. It started in 2019, where Veterans Affairs Canada started offering it to veterans instead of treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder or traumatic brain injury. They were never asking for MAID. They were never asking for suicide. They were asking for help. And case managers across this country took it upon themselves to start offering MAID. The Veterans Affairs the head of Veterans Affairs went on the West Block with Mercedes Stevenson and boldface lied, saying it was one person, when we have audio recordings and written testimony from several different individuals who have been offered MAID in Canada since then.
I think the interesting thing to me is we've discussed it a couple times on the show over the years, is in the US, I think the battle here for a couple of years has been informed consent. You know, basically, soldiers being drugged or given different treatments really without their consent, because that was what was decided by the VA or you know, when they're enlisted. And to me, it seems like a slippery slope, right? Like we start with something like informed consent, and then you kind of end up, you know, a little bit further down the road at something like MAID. Why are they targeting the military first? Like, why are they going after people like that?
Well, let's look back in history a little bit. The reason that the militaries are always targeted is because they're owned by the governments that they sign up to. So you don't get to choose the vaccines you take before you deploy. You don't get to choose the medication you put in your body. You don't get to choose where you live. You don't get to choose anything. You now are owned by the government that you have sworn to protect. And so we've seen this time and time and time again, going all the way back to World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, you name it. Veterans are the first to be experimented on. This is not me saying this. There's plenty of records going back, looking at the military as the individuals that they use for experimentation on a lot of different scales.
Well, the Tuskegee Airmen here in the US, they did that with syphilis and different things like that.
Exactly. So it always starts there. At least that's where we can seem to track it back to, is that's where it's a good foothold. You're seeing that with Canadians, where if individuals are not pushing back, they're going to push the line a little bit. You saw it up here with Canada with the truckers protest, where you finally hit a line with us, where you had everyday people, including my parents who were long haul truck drivers, standing up and saying, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. We have to stand up for our children. So the reason my back got up, and I've been speaking about MADE now for several years to anybody that would listen to me, I will go down to any place, I'll fly anywhere if you just give us the platform to explain why this is dangerous rhetoric and it is coming for your children. That's not fear mongering, because I'm very careful, Jeremy. With platforms, you have to have responsibility. And you cannot sit there and fear monger like so many of our veterans in our space saying that the world's going to end. You need to buy all the prepper stuff. You need to do all of the things. It's about being mindful with your words. And I don't normally speak this loudly about things besides suicide prevention. And I don't throw myself into the throes of this unless it's something that I'm willing to die on the hill of. And when you included my friends who were vulnerable, and I know for a fact that if I was offered MADE after my injury in 2009, I would not exist any longer. I would not have a son or a family or anything for that matter. So you start targeting the vulnerable population of Canada, and then you bring up children, and I'm going to lose my mind. And that's what you're seeing a result of right now.
Well, I think there's a few different things that we're gonna cover on this. I'm gonna do my best for the people listening to keep this a straight line. I know it's there's a lot of different things we can cover around this. And I guess the first thing I want to look at, Kelsey, is you made a really interesting connection to looking at through the 1930s and 40s, and we talk about eugenics. It used to be very popular back in the days, and then World War II happened. We saw the atrocity of the Holocaust, and I think people kind of stepped back a bit. They're like, oh gosh, okay, that's where this leads. Why does something like that make a comeback? Like, why are people suddenly interested in doing something like that again?
Well, you've got a leadership that we know now is tied to some pretty nasty stuff in Canada. That's not me stating it. That would be CSIS stating it in 2023 in public news outlets. Our government has been infiltrated in that. Again, I hate even saying these words because it sounds incredibly conspiratorial, but we're able to prove it with CSIS, which is our version of the FBI. When they came out publicly and started stating about the concerns with Chrystia Freeland and the Trudeau administration, a lot of people started to wake up. Here's the thing. When you are able to erase a population that is incredibly expensive to look after while the country is in a massive financial decline, it is advantageous for those individuals to put things into place where it looks like compassion and empathy, when really all it is tackling and targeting vulnerable populations that cannot control their own thoughts and their own minds. And that is what depression is. And that is what fibromyalgia and, basically anything that can manipulate your mind, they're allowing for those individuals to make the decisions to ultimately end their life using a permanent solution.
And I think one of the really important things to note here, and I think we saw this during the last 3 years we lived through. I don't want to, since this is going to be on YouTube, I won't say,
Don't say the word.
I won't say the word. I won't do it. But I think like that proved to us that kind of Canada in a lot of ways has been an experimentation for ground for how will people react? How will they receive something? Because, frankly, the Canadians are some of the friendliest people on earth. So it's like, all right, if we could take these really friendly people and they don't do something, like, how does it work? Do you see Canada, I guess, is the testing ground for things like MADE to gain wider acceptance?
I believe so. I've seen the way that we have handled mental health in this country. We have one of the largest opioid epidemics on the east side of Vancouver right now. We have open-air drug markets. You can get access to heroin before you can get access to a family doctor. You can get access to safe injection sites where they will test your drugs and they will administer them, give you the drugs to administer yourself on the property, but they won't have enough beds. They will not have enough beds for those to go into recovery. During that time, we saw a really aggressive. Yeah, you caught. I caught it.
I saw it. You thought about it.
I'm proud of myself. During that time, we saw some really nasty things happen in this country. Mm-hmm. We weren't allowed into doctors. We cannot see family doctors. We cannot see ERs. We cannot go into walk-in clinics. And we were not allowed to help ourselves. Our current administration is doing everything from banning natural substances, including vitamins to protect ourselves from, you know, diseases like viral diseases. They are banning a lot of different healthcare situations up here. You cannot get access to a doctor in a timely manner, meaning you can get access to death care before you can get see a specialist. What's happening in this country right now is really indicative of the leadership or lack of leadership, if I prefer to say, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Our government, and we now know who on the one side of the government has voted in favor for MAID. And to those individuals, I always say, do you have children? Okay, fantastic. Once they are over the age of 12, if they walk into a hospital in Canada and they ask for MAID, you now lose your parental rights and they will kill that child. So you will go to prison if you try to protect your children from this. And the one thing we understand, and we've seen this with an individual I had on my show named Alicia Duncan and her mother, is the way that the MAID oversight unit works and the way that the MAID program works and is targeting individuals, they are doing what you see large gangs in Chicago and New York do. They separate you from your family. They do not inform the family members that this individual is choosing to do this. They just walk them through the process. And at the very last minute, when there's nothing you can do about it, they say, well, it's that person's choice. It's informed consent.
So how does that process work then too? Because I know I've heard you talk about it, and I've also heard other references to it, is there's been issues with, you know, maybe somebody's holding on for an organ transplant and that organ transplant isn't coming. So, you know, I guess the solution might be MAID. Or there was a woman you had talked about that was in an accident and had a head injury. And she was actually a psych nurse. And mm-hmm. she actually went back to the same hospital that she worked mm-hmm. at, which she shouldn't have been able to do due to conflict of interest. And it was very easy for her to get that. So what does the mm-hmm. process look like? And, you know, what sort of an event has to happen for someone to apply to that process?
So there is no event. That's what's okay. wild here. Okay. So prior to, I'm just looking at some, as you can see, I'm no joke when it comes to this.
Well, and I think our audience will appreciate that too, because we're all about research and things backed up on this show. So definitely appreciate it.
Well, good. Absolutely. So like, look, let's take a look at this, right? So in 15, follow my track here. This is when we started to be able to allow it. We always had it where it was foreseeable death. It had to be reasonably foreseeable for a natural death. Okay. That's was the verbiage that was being used. Part of the issue happened in 2020 when the Quebec government, which has always been a problem for this country, has come forward and said that, you know, end of life needs to mean something very different than it used to mean. And it has to mean foreseeable, meaning you have to have something that's going to cause a foreseeable death. We need to know that it's going to be, if you're terminally ill, that's a foreseeable death. What they've tried to change with the verbiage here, which is really, really wild, is they changed the criteria. This is where it happened. The criteria changed from where it no longer needed to be a foreseeable death. It now only needed to be a life, a condition in which the individual, I'm trying to find the exact verbiage, it needs to be irremedial. So they need to be struggling so much so that they can't fathom living their life. Let me give you an example of what qualified for MAID with an individual. I'm not going to say his name, but his family has testified at the Senate subcommittee against this as well. This individual was given MAID because he was suffering from long-term depression and he had hearing loss. Just for to put that into context, I wear two hearing aids and I qualify for MAID on several different fronts. Wow. As we're sitting here today. So when you apply for MAID, you get put under two tracks, okay? The two tracks are what determine how quickly, not if, it's when you will be killed. So track one, I'm going to read verbiage right from the Canadian government's website that I can provide. It's right under the, not only the criminal code, but it comes from the Senate on the Canada.gov website. And track one refers to the procedural safeguards, applicable to foreseeable MAID, meaning track one is within 10 days and it can be bumped up to 24 hours. Track two refers to the procedural safeguards, a request for MAID made by a person whose natural death is not reasonably foreseeable, 90-day track. Meaning track one, that mean that person has to have a natural death being reasonably foreseeable, meaning I am dying of terminally ill cancer. I know they've told me I have 2 weeks to live. They're not going to make me wait 10 days. They're going to allow me to access within 24
hours. So it's like a fast
hours.
Track, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Track two is not reasonably foreseeable. Meaning, if I'm struggling with depression and hearing loss, I can apply for MAID. I qualify now under the new legislation for MAID. It'll just take up to 90 days, which in most times we know it's taking significantly less, meaning they're fast tracking most people. And not only are they fast tracking individuals, when those individuals are coming forward to do the screening on the patient, a lot of time it's done on the phone.
That's wild. That's wild. Mm-hmm. And to me, like 90 days even feels too sudden, right? Like that's a very substantial life decision to be made even 90 days.
The fact that we're even including the mentally ill addicts, the indigenous population, which is our Native Americans, we call them indigenous up here, our homeless population, children down to the age of 12. In Canada, we had surpassed more deaths than anywhere else using MAID. In Canada, in 2021, they saved $86.9 million by giving people MAID instead of palliative care and care to help them.
Is that what it comes down to then? Is it, you know, just our medical costs are a lot lower? That just seems so, I don't know, cut and dry in a lot of ways.
But you have to understand, when we have a government that's trillions of dollars in debt and there's no way to balance a budget, and the person who's been in power for almost a decade wants to run again with a finance minister who's directly tied for a long time now to the old Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. I'm not that surprised. And that executive summary, just for those that are watching and are like, Kelsey, there's no way they save that amount of money. That is an executive summary that came from Bill C-11 when they were talking about MAID. And it's under the net financial impact provided MAID under the current legislation, Bill C-14 in 2021. The number of MAID deaths at the time that this was done was 6,465. The gross reduction in healthcare cost, meaning end of life costs it would have cared to look after all these people, was $182.1 million. Okay. When you adjust for palliative care, you minus $72 million. At the net gross reduction is 109. The cost of administering MAID is only 22 million. So you save a net reduction cost under Bill C-14 of $86.9 million.
Oh my gosh.
So you can't tell me that there isn't a financial component to this. And you can't tell me that there isn't a, when you're getting deeper into this, we've heard now about depopulation and the agenda around erasing people because of things like climate change. When you see strategically placed legislation like this to reduce population and cost, it doesn't surprise me that that's where we're going. This is not empathy. This is not compassion. This is straight up killing its vulnerable citizens.
If you appreciate the work that we do here and you want to support this show, the biggest way you can do that is by supporting the products that we know, use, and love, and that I recommend for you here on the show. The first that I want to talk about is MyPillow, literally one of my favorite products. The MyPillow Classic is what I use every single night. It's handled a lot of my neck pain, a lot of my back pain. As you guys know, I've been a competitive powerlifter since my early 20s. I've retired from that, but I still take pretty good care of myself, and I'm still pulling some heavy weights as I pulled 500 last week on deadlift. And our favorite product from when we travel is actually the MyPillow Travel Pillow, and it's one of the things that we actually give to absolutely everybody. It is a great product to fall asleep on, so if you want to go to MyPillow.com/CYOL, there's some really great holiday deals over there. You can get up to 66% off of select products. Also, one of the biggest changes in my life over the years has been handling a lot of parasites in my body. A number of years ago, I did a cleanse with Dr. Jason Dean, and we removed these things called liver fluke from my body. They were actually eating my liver. It was kind of crazy. And every few months, I do either a parasite cleanse or his full moon detox that he's doing right now. So if you want to head over to bravetv.store/CYOL and grab some of his amazing products over there. I know he has a great holiday special going on right now as well. Support our sponsors. They help the show to continue, and they help us to do what we're doing. And we could not do it without you. And you could do it just by using the power of the purse and supporting the products that we love. Thanks.
And I guess, like, looking at that, you had mentioned before you started recording, I think something's going on in Scotland as well. Like, what is the adoption of this looking like globally? Because I do think a lot of times Canada is a testing ground for a lot of things, just as much as New Zealand is many times.
Yep. Well, that's what happens when you're under the Commonwealth, right? So you're getting a little bit of this. So
Oh, that's an interesting point. So being under the British Commonwealth is kind of a stipulation of this.
Well, I mean, we're out of the British Commonwealth, so let's take a look at this for 2 seconds. Okay. There's a documentary coming out this year with an individual who's a disabled actress named Liz Carr. Liz Carr is in, you know, The Omens, Loki, you name it. Super successful human being. The UK is trying to put legislation in to open up for MAID. At this point, they do not have it. So they are going around to all of the countries that do have it. And what they're seeing is a disproportionate amount of individuals accessing MAID when that doesn't need to be the solution to the problem, frankly. So Canada has started. We are not the first ones to start it. As you know, you can go over to Europe and you can end your life there, but they don't push it. As of 2021, we are seeing them create death pods where you sit in a pod, you get asked 3 questions, and then they kill you inside the pod. It's like a really strategic, rapid way to ending life. What we saw today, and what I'm talking about today in terms of Scotland, was I got this absolutely wild message, and it was, Kelsey, have you seen what's happening in Scotland? There has been almost 100 cases right now of individuals who have bought black market MAID kits from Canada, and people are dying by suicide by administering kits that have come from this country. Meaning, when individuals are saying that Canada is protecting it with safeguards so that we know that no one's going to slip through cracks, well, we can clearly see that our kits are being sold to other countries to end their life. We are being told that you can use MAID in your home. So I do not need to use MAID in a hospital. I do not need to be injected by a doctor. A nurse practitioner can do it. They can do it in my home. And they are now looking at extending it to things like parks. So you could just be out walking, and if you chose to end your life there, you could be getting injected by a nurse practitioner in a national park. Scotland, I think it was the Daily Mail that broke it today, and there was another organization that broke it. We also have a documentary that I was a very small part of, but with Rebel News is the only news outlet in Canada right now that is speaking about this prominently and speaking about it properly, saying that this is dangerous rhetoric, while you hear the rest of the state-run, state-fund media like CBC talking about this is compassion and empathy. They're disgusting human beings. They're just absolutely disgusting. But Rebel has come forward, and they are rapidly putting out a documentary that's going to be airing at the end of February before the legislation changes, as well as I know the Australians have reached out. They are now making a documentary over there, and they're coming to Canada to interview a bunch of us on this, because whether we like it or not, just because the big names aren't talking about this yet doesn't mean it's not happening. I'm calling on every single podcaster that has a platform, every single name from Canada. I've called out several of these people by name. The fact that they are not using their platforms right now to scream about this, but they're talking about other issues right now, This is time sensitive. This needs to be spoken about now. I have tagged every major podcaster in Canada and the United States going, please, you don't need to talk to me. You need to do a segment on this. Jordan Peterson, you need to be doing a segment on this. Michaela, you need to be doing a segment on this. Joe Rogan, you need to be doing a segment on this. Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, I don't give a fuck who you are. You guys need to be talking about this, because this will spread to you. And once it does, and it is legally in place, your children are on the target, and you don't get to stop it. If my son wants to use MAID at 12 and he walks into a hospital, the only way I can protect him from himself is to become a fugitive and leave this country with my son to protect him from the government. You guys need to understand, this is not fear mongering. This is a reality that we can stop before March 17th if we get it in the right hands. I'm not calling people out to be shameful or to make them feel bad, but I'm saying I need bigger voices to hear this, please.
Well, and I guess the importance that I want to stress there, and you know, obviously I don't live in Canada, so you can correct me on any of this, but It seems like it's more of we get tales from Canada rather than tales in Canada, because a lot of the media control that we've had in Canada. And I guess how difficult have people like yourself had a time of actually getting this message out to your fellow Canadians rather than a message outside of Canada?
So part of the problem is the CRTC, now under Bill C-11, which is run by the government, has direct access to algorithms, meaning this is where you hear Jordan talking right now, where he's had to do media retraining, and because he won't do it, his license is in jeopardy. You have people running this government that that actually can go to the CRTC and say, shut this person down. And they're doing it. It's affecting algorithms. It's affecting people's social medias. It's affecting people's businesses. Ever since Brass and Unity and I stood up publicly during the trucker protest, we have seen a massive drop off in our ability. People can't like our stuff. People can't share our stuff. People can't see it outside of the country, and they can't see it within the country. If you do not run a VPN, you cannot see news in Canada anymore on social media. You will get a screen that says it's no longer accessible. And what do we understand about the CRTC? We understand that on this globe, there's only a handful of countries that have that legislation. Russia, China, North Korea, and Canada. So we're talking about something different here. We're talking about an iron curtain. And for people to say, well, shadow banning's not a real thing. It's not this. Maybe your stuff's just not interesting enough. Kelsey, stop complaining. We can show it. The second I cross the border, which I live on the border of America. If I go across the border and post something, it will explode. As soon as I come back, we're lucky if it gets a few hundred views.
Wow. So I guess like looking at that then, what is the appetite to handle things like this in terms of like, you know, getting control of Canada back for the Canadian people? Because you look at the trucker protests, you look at, I know even recently there's been, you'd have to correct me on what it was, but I believe it was one of the courts in Canada looked at the use of the Emergencies Act and said, you know, Trudeau can't do that the way he did it. So I guess so how is it going in terms of like, I guess, pushing control back to the hands of the people?
You know, you've got these amazing people, like I think it was Tamara and BJ and all of these awesome people that did sparked this protest and got Canada on its feet. The only thing that I can say is that there is a lot of movement happening privately and quietly to really work to push on this. But one of the major wins that we've had as Canadians has been the courts have come out and said that the current administration has unlawfully used, and it was unconstitutional what it did during the trucker protest, meaning the Liberals are saying, well, we're going to come back and fight that. It doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter if it's overturned. We've proved it once. We've shown that you were unconstitutional to its citizens, meaning at that point, in my opinion, the fact that he hasn't been forced to step down says everything to me, because that means there's other powers that be that are controlling whether or not that man stays in power. That to me is, there's nothing interesting about that man. Tucker Carlson said it brilliantly. There's nothing interesting, absolutely nothing interesting about that man, other than he is an individual who does not care whether others live or die. He's completely lost touch with his reality and the perception of reality. The thing that I'm hopeful with Canadians is, Canadians who are, you know, don't have their head in the sand, they are waking up to this reality that their children are now being targeted. It was one thing during that time, the past couple of years, when they were targeting adults and they were saying, adults, you couldn't work, you couldn't leave your home. Our streets were blocked off. You couldn't go to a Walmart to buy tampons. They were deemed non-essential. Baby stuff was deemed non-essential. It got to the point where enough of us have said, we're not doing this anymore. And you're always still going to have that subset of the population that is permanently damaged from this. And that's a hard, hard reality where that time broke a lot of people. So those people are still kind of head in the sand. Inflation's so high. People can't afford to feed themselves in this country. Canada economically is about to have the worst three decades we've ever seen from any economist that has seen. So the rest of us are just willing to lose it all to make this country change. And that's the sad part, is that's kind of where it's at. You have to be willing to lose it all, or you have to leave the country.
Well, I think one of the most dangerous people is the type that'll smile to your face and tell you what they're doing is for your own good. That's a really dangerous person. And I remember, I believe it was September of 2001 or somewhere around, or 2021, when Trudeau dissolved parliament and they had new elections. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, maybe he'll be out of power, whatever it may be. And my thought process was, no, he wants that so he can get a bigger majority. And I think that's what people don't consider, is they're, politicians only do what benefits them.
Absolutely. And in 2021, I'm glad you brought that up. We had, as most Americans saw, we had one of the worst, other than Vietnam and the identical photos that rolled around with it, the Afghan pullout was one of the biggest blunders of the United States government, as well as the rest of the countries that served in Afghanistan. And so we got a phone call from CBC while we were exfilling and evacing Canadians that had been abandoned by the Trudeau administration. And they had stated they would like to interview a bunch of us and essentially gaslight us on national television. We received a phone call the following day stating that Trudeau had called a snap election and that there would be a complete media blackout on anything Afghanistan related, meaning there was confirmed thousands of Canadian visa holders that had worked with us, that had helped us, that had supported us while we were in Afghanistan, who were abandoned to the Taliban and are still, a lot of them, stuck in that country because Canada is no longer paying attention to what we were involved in. So you saw it during the 2021 elections. I went to vote where I live 3 hours away from Parliament, time change. And before I even went in to vote, the election was called.
Wow.
So what's the point of voting?
Yes.
And now, very quietly, very, very quietly, and you're not hearing about this, Trudeau and the NDP are amending the ballots right now so that you can now have longer times to vote, you can do it from home, and you don't need to provide voter ID.
So I guess when we're looking at how MAID is promoted to the individual person, right? Like when we look at the individual person, what sort of a message are they receiving? And I guess what should people be aware of if they're receiving that type of message? Do you get what I'm saying? Like there's propaganda, there's education of like why you should be doing this. Like what are people receiving and what should they be aware of for themselves, their kids? Like what should they be aware of?
And I'm really glad you asked that because it's not about
well, because we look at it even, and I don't want to make it a conversation about transitioning, but you look at that here in the U.S. and that's there's been a lot of people that do that and then regret it, and you know you don't get the chance to regret it with MAID, and I think that's really important to point out.
Thank you so much for this. I'm so grateful to be able to bring this up. You know, you have people like Dr. Deborah So, who were canceled by her college in Toronto, who only ever spoke to, you know, on her The End of Gender book, which is so well written. You have people like this that were sounding the alarm about detransitioners in this country and the damage it does long term. Well, now we're doing the same thing and we're sounding the alarm against something that you cannot walk back from. And so what we're seeing right now with people who are being offered it, it's very different across the board. First, you have people like Simon's Department Store, which is similar to the Bay, but Canada's version. They have now since pulled the ad, but they had the audacity to use an individual who was going to be ending her life with MAID as an actress in one of their commercials, promoting their home goods while promoting MAID, meaning subliminal messaging, very quietly talking about how life is going to be great when it's over, going across the rainbow bridge with all the bubbles in the background in a beautiful cave. That's what that was. And then you have the next step, which is something I was passed along and we leaked out on July 1st that went live on the Daily Mail that most Canadians aren't aware. The Fraser healthcare system, which is my healthcare system in British Columbia, was not only advertising, but they were targeting healthy pensioners of Canada, putting them in a library locally, and they were very excited to show them their new slideshow on how MAID can happen for you and how MAID can be great to work for you if you can't afford your housing anymore, if you can't afford your medication, if you don't have anybody to look after you during end of life. Might as well just end your life now so you're not a burden on the system. And then you have it being targeted to young individuals now, right? So let's take a look at what that looks like. When you walk into a hospital right now in Canada, if you're lucky and you go in because you're a concern to yourself, meaning you don't feel safe around yourself and you're needing help, if you're lucky, the doctors will put you in a psych ward and hold you for 48 hours for observation. But instead, what we're seeing is when the vulnerable individual goes into the emergency room asking for support, they're being offered MAID. So my point to saying that is that if somebody you know is struggling and they're going to go to the emergency to protect themselves from themselves, you need to go with them. Mm-hmm. Because it's very clear that doctors, not all doctors, and I'm not blanketing, but we are seeing a large subset right now, are not only advocating, but they are pushing MAID as a solution. What we're trying to get people to see is that this is not 18-year-olds and up. This is children down to the age of 12. So you now have a subset of the population that is homeless, which are runaway children. We've been reached out to by several of the group homes in Vancouver right now, from on Instagram saying how concerned they are about this because they are hearing Young adolescents talk about going and using MAID or convincing friends that MAID is the right solution. So this social contagion factor again around the transitioning side, you know, like Dr. Deborah So, the 30 kids at one time from one school all transitioning
there was
together.
Even a case here in America, and I don't remember the names, so maybe somebody out there in the that sees this video after can put it in the chat, but there was a girl that was dating a boy, and he had brought up killing himself from time to time, and she bullied himself into killing himself.
And
like,
she
there are people that do messed up stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we have a really great case from Canada about that. So this was quite a while ago, and I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting her name right now. I want to say it was Amber. Anyway, she was the girl that stood on YouTube, and she was the first one that had the little cards, right? So she was flipping the card, she's flipping the card, she's flipping the card. Well, she was bullied, cyber bullied by an individual on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. And you know what we did? We hunted that person down and we extradited them to Canada, and that person got charged for aiding in her murder when she ended her life because of that individual.
Wow. Well,
where are we when it comes to the government advertising and pushing MAID on the vulnerable mental health population? Where is the police in that saying that, hey guys, maybe we can't be advertising MAID to vulnerable people like mental health? Because here's the thing that you need to understand. They will hold you to protect yourself if you say, I'm going to kill myself. They will hold you, right? Hypothetically. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, they'll also say that I'm of sound mind if I'm asking for MAID.
Which doesn't make any sense.
But I'm asking for suicide. Exactly.
Because it's like they're talking about killing themselves and the government's like, well, would you like some help with that? Like, it's like, what the hell?
So, and we don't have to go all the way into this, but I will say, sure, if you want to know more, I did an episode with Alicia Duncan on the Brass and Unity podcast. I think it's episode 195 and 194.
Well, we'll make sure we link that up in the description for everybody.
Thank
too.
You.
But go ahead.
So the reason I bring it up is because this is how you game the system. You're going to have people do it, right? So Donna was a psych nurse for over multiple decades. She knew how to game the system and what to say. And when they deemed that she was no longer of sound mind, she slit her wrists. And then 4 days later, they enacted MAID on her.
Oh my gosh.
So at a hospital she used to work at. So there's a conflict of interest. Individuals are going to fall through the cracks. Donna was looked at by several doctors, and even her family doctor said no. But then she doctor shopped, just like so many people do. And she had somebody literally clear her over the phone without seeing her in person.
Oh my gosh. That's
this
wild.
This is where we are.
I think too, like the reason I was so interested in getting this out there is because I do think if you look at content that's been created, if you look at shows, if you look at different things that come out, you can kind of see the soft preparation of a society for it, right? Like, it's already happening
Thank
in Canada.
You.
But if you look at, there's a show on Prime, and it was a somewhat entertaining show. It's called Upload. I don't know if you've seen it at all.
I've never seen it, no.
So it's this idea of basically you can upload yourself to an AI world to live after you're done. So people are killing themselves when they're young because they're like, oh, well, I could go live. So to me, if you look at that, it's a show targeted for Americans, preparing them for, in a very soft way, I'm a parent, so I'm always looking for this stuff, preparing them in a very soft way for like, well, maybe you can consider this too. And I don't think people look for that in their media.
No, they don't. Because here's what governments are banking on right now, right? And this is why algorithms are pushing things like this. Sadness and destruction. And the way that you distract people, we've seen this before, is really simple. You make the mortgages so, so high that people can't think of anything else besides putting food on the table. You make it so that nobody can afford their homes and their food and their children's clothing. So parents are so head down, so focused. How do I get food on the table? How do I keep the roof over our heads? How do I make it seem like we're not struggling to our children? How do I just be here? They don't have the capacity. This isn't because people are willing to do this. This is strictly because our governments have done a beautiful job of distracting and dividing our populations so that this can slip in. Let me explain how this slipped in. So this was, you know, in 2020, like this didn't change. Quebec brought this forward and they slipped it in the abortion bill. They slipped it in the abortion bill of Canada so that when they were voting, They were voting on whether Canadians should have a right to abortion or not. They were not voting whether Canadians should extend MAID, but that's where it was slipped in. Because legislation is brilliant. When you have a bill come forward that's 800 pages, you're reading the top and the bottom, but everything in the middle is the important things that will change the society and the population and the trajectory. And there are tons and tons of liberal individuals who are parents that voted on behalf of this.
Yes.
Because it was super liberal. They have no idea what they voted for.
Well, I'm a big believer, and on this show, we're big believers that, you know, there's a lot of crazy shit out there, Kelsey. The world can be a dangerous place, but at the same time, we can always be causative. Something can always be done about it. And always. I know we're talking about a really difficult subject today, a really important subject. For people listening, what can they do about it? How can they get involved? What can they do? How can they make an impact with this?
And so, thank you for asking that. Look, ultimately, you guys have to take, we have to take ownership and responsibility. The only way that we make change is by taking accountability of how we got here. And we hold people's feet to the fire. People have forgot that these governments of ours work for us. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, they have also forgot that. So it's about time we remind them. And the way you do that is by using your voice. You have to write your MPs. You have to stand in their offices and say, this needs to change. You have to do something about this. Otherwise, frankly, there's not a whole lot you can do. You have to be loud. And that's why at the beginning of this, I know I come off really aggressive and very heated, but when I'm asking for these big, huge platforms to talk, I'm not saying it because I'm slighting you. I'm saying, if you're not aware of this, if the Jordan Petersons and the Russell Brands of the world are not aware of this and you're hearing about this for the first time, this isn't me calling you out in a negative light. This is me saying, hi, I'm somebody who only can be seen so far and so wide. You don't need to talk to me, but I need you to look into this. Please just look into this and please just do a segment on it, because the rest of the population in Canada, frankly, has no clue this is happening. And I can only be reached so far. So I need bigger people than me to grab the torch and say, we need to get loud. We need to get loud about this and just say very simply, write your MPs, show up at the office, start a protest, say no. And if somebody you know has been offered MAID, make it abundantly clear to them that you can heal, you will heal, you can get better, and it is a permanent solution to a problem that I promise you, after the 44 suicides we have every single day in our veteran community, that void that you will leave can never be filled. Your family, your community, those around you, they will never heal. They will move on, but they will never heal. Your children will always wonder why they weren't good enough for you to stay. Your family will always wonder why you couldn't stick it out. I have been to the depths of hell with suicide for years. And I have come out of it because I had somebody else grab my hand and say that you need to stay with us. You need to be here for your son. So I'm asking you, if you guys have been offered this, say no. If someone you know has been offered it, grab their hand and run. If somebody you know can speak louder, then you need to get them to speak up, because this is going to get worse. And if you think for a single second this is not going to reach out and touch you, whether it's your family member, your friends at school, your employees, it does not matter. This will reach out and touch you if we give it enough time, but we have to shut it down right the fuck now. Otherwise, it's coming for you and your kids. And I hate to say it, but welcome to the new reality in this country.
Well, your bravery is appreciated, and we need more of this out there, and we need more people confronting this. So for people listening, Kelsey, if they want to find out more about you or connect with you, how can our listeners do that?
For now, you can get a hold of me on Instagram. We'll see how much longer. It's just Kelsey_Sharon. Another way is through KelseySharon.com, Brass and Unity as well. And if you can't get a hold of us there, I'll give you guys my personal email, because I'm dead serious about this. Just if you email coaching@KelseySharon.com, we will get a hold of it. We will see it. But please, if you've heard anything from this and you are feeling suicidal, please call 988. You are not alone. It will get better. You can heal. You just need the right support around you.
Absolutely. Well, Kelsey, Sharon, thank you so much for doing this today. And I really hope we can, you know, get something done before that date in March comes. This is a very important thing to have out there.
Thank you so much for the platform. Thank you for the opportunity. And I do hope that anybody listening is willing to share this or get somebody larger to start talking, because we can only do so much alone over here. Thank you.